Church, say amen. We're very thankful to be back this afternoon to study with you all. I'm excited this afternoon to be able to roll out. We're farther along in some congregations as it pertains to what I'm going to be talking about today. I'm going to slow it down just a little bit here this afternoon because I want to also teach. But if you're visiting with us, you're the honored guest of the audience, and we are thankful to have you with us. And we want you to know we want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. To do that, you must believe Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross. You must believe that with all of your heart. You must repent of your sin, confess Jesus to be the Son of God, then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Amen? Amen. And then the Lord would add you to the only church in the Bible, and that is the Church of Christ. Amen. This study I launched it in Mississippi. But it came from a discussion here that we've had, and we all are pretty familiar with travails. You know? So we've taught that a lot here at Highland Heights. In chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1 and verse number 13, Solomon writes there in chapter 1, verse 13, the book says what?
And I gave my heart.
He said, I gave my heart to seek
and search out,
and
my,
search
wisdom.
Out my wisdom.
Concerning
all the things that are
done
under the sun.
Under
heaven.
This sore travail
that God given to the sons of men
to be exercised
therewith. Next verse.
I have seen all
the works. He said, I've seen all the what?
All the works.
All the things that are done.
That are done under the sun.
Under the sun. Read.
And behold. All is vanity.
All is vanity.
And vexation.
And vexation. Of the spirit. Read.
That which is crooked.
Now that's the part. That which is crooked.
Cannot be made straight.
Cannot be straightened out once it's crooked. That which is crooked.
And that which is wanting.
Cannot be
numbered.
So this is what I'm going to be talking about tonight for a few minutes. The life of an individual from the time they live to the time they die. Everything the effects of life have on you will be in your past because you're never in the future. That makes sense? So I'm talking about everyone's life tonight. And we're talking about traumas. This came to me one night, and I've been just, you know, through the years of canceling, through some recent canceling, that I realized that people are traumatized in their lives. We have studied here, and it came out, and when our sister came out, I talked about how she was molested and she had to take care of mom. Y'all remember that Bible class and those kind of things? That all this is just, it was good, flowing through my mind. And it hit me one night. We are post-traumatic. We always dealing with a trauma from our past. It's never pre-traumatic. It's post. And so when you have, there's a thing called PTSD, which is a post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, when you look at that clinical definition of post-traumatic stress disorder, it reads like this. It's a mental disorder that can develop after a person is exposed to a traumatic event such as sexual assault, warfare, traffic collisions, or other threats on a person's life. Symptoms may include disturbing thoughts, feelings, or dreams related to the event, mental or physical distress, and trauma-related cues. Attempts to avoid trauma-related cues, alterations in how a person thinks and feels, and increases, and watch this, a fight or flight response. I'm coming back there from the other angle. A fight or flight response. These symptoms last for more than a month after the event. Young children less likely show distress, but instead may express their memories through play. A person with PTSD is at high risk, notice this, for suicide and intentional self-harm. Most people who experience a traumatic event will not develop PTSD necessarily. People who experience interpersonal trauma, for example, rape, molestation, child abuse, and many more likely to develop PTSD. In other words, a wreck may not get me what rape will do to me. And what he's saying is that about half of the people develop PTSD following rape. Children are less likely than adults to develop PTSD after trauma, especially if they're under 10 years of age. Diagnosis is based on the presence of specific symptoms following a traumatic event. That's the medical or the clinical definition of a post-traumatic stress disorder. So whatever I want to spend for a few minutes this afternoon and for the next few afternoon services to really dig into this, because I think that there are people even among us who are post-traumatic and you haven't dealt with it yet. And so what I mean by that, because the PTSD I'm speaking about is a post-traumatic spiritual disorder. See, if we have a post-traumatic spiritual disorder, you cannot handle post-traumatic stress disorder. So if we reverse the psychology, if I can get you to think with me, if I can get you to take care of the PTSD, the spiritual disorder, then it's going to improve your stress disorder. Y'all ain't with me yet, are you? See, all of us got some trauma in our life. All of us done had some tough times. All of us done experienced travails of life. All of us done experienced some things, and some of us have not dealt with it yet. That's why we fight. That's why we fight or flight. That's why we fight in a relationship or we run from the relationship. We don't deal with the trauma. You got fight or flight responses. That's why people go to divorce court. That's why people hate folk. That's why people stop speaking. I'm getting ahead of myself. I said I was going to preach this slow. Somebody said amen. I do my handkerchief. Huh? Yeah, I do it. So somebody say amen. You knew I preached like this before you came over here. But I am going to slow down. Because not only am I writing these lessons, I'm going to offer personal interviews, counseling, to help us get on track, those who are dealing with these things. And then I'm going to take it and write it in a book to prove that God's order is right. And if you get the spiritual disorder right, the stress disorder going to get right. And I'm going to prove that you don't have to take drugs if you're a child of God. Amen. See, what I'm saying is that every one of us, and y'all have heard me talk about paradigm shifting. So many of us have a view that's keeping us in our past. Amen, somebody. See, you got a view that's keeping you in your past. And if you never heard me tell it, I'm going to tell it anyway, because there are people on what I love about FaceTime Live, Facebook Live, is that thousands of people listening to this. We had 4,000 plus views the other night. So I know people need this, and they're listening. And that's why I want to slow this down to not only help us, but the listening audience. Is that all right? And so when you look at paradigm shifting, there's a man who's driving home from work, and he's on his way home, and the man in a red Mustang come around him, and he runs him off the road into the ditch. The man has got road rage. He's upset at him, and he get home. He was upset at the guy that ran him off, a crazy guy about to kill everybody. So he get home. When he get home, the man coming home from work and trying to wind down gets home, and his wife, he's all upset. His wife runs out the house, and she said, "Honey, we got to go to the emergency room." I said, "What's wrong?" "Our son has been in an accident." So he get out there, and They get to the emergency room, and when they get there, they run in, and sure enough, they're in, the doctors are in there working on their son, trying to get him back, trying to save him. And so they go and they want to go in. They said, no, you can't go in there. You can't go in there. They're trying to save your son. And so a while went by, and the doctors come out, and they said, they told him, ma'am, sir, talking to the mother and the father, he's going to be okay. The doctor said, he's going to be okay. I think we got him stabilized. He's going to be all right. Gonna be all right. And so the lady said, thank you doctor. She said, no, he said, no, don't thank me. He said, go out there and thank that the guy, the gentleman right outside. So they leave the emergency room, and they walk through the doors, and outside there's a man in a car with his head slumped down on the steering wheel in a red Mustang. And the father of the son recognized that car. And the man in the car, he noticed it's the same man that ran him off the road and almost killed him, that he was mad at. He hated him. He couldn't stand him. But when he found out the man was rushing to save his own son, he went from hating him to loving him. Now, here's what I'm trying to get to see. This won't help you looking at the other person. The paradigm shift must be you looking at yourself in this mirror called the Word of God.
Amen.
And ask yourself, have I dealt with my trauma in my past? Do I have a spiritual disorder? Unless you rise above your view set and telling yourself you're okay, keeping this stuff suppressed, kept it inside, you are not okay. You have not dealt with your trauma. You are post-traumatic. And you got a spiritual disorder. So Solomon said, what's crooked cannot be made straight. What do you mean? No matter what people done to you, you can't go undo your past. You can't, no matter how much you suppress it, your past is still there. So what I'm trying to do, this, I'm just rolling out the concept tonight. Because here's how we look at it. The steps of a good man are ordered by who? By the Lord. Psalm 37:23. Jeremiah 10:23. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to what? Direct his own steps. And that's what happened. Unless we follow God's order in this stream called life, you're going to have post-traumatic spiritual disorder. So here's kind of how I wrote it in a paragraph when it came to me. And keep in mind, all of us got life experiences. And when you've been dealing with life yourself and you canceling people, I see this repeatedly, over and over and over. When a person is hurt by someone or something, that trauma leaves a scab. It's an injury. It's a wound that has a scab on it. And evidence will be seen, and I'm going to deal with that in next one, when that pain is there, when the scab is removed, there's a cold side, a dark side, a hateful side, a mean side. Because the person who was injured is post-traumatic. They're going to be in a revenge mode, or they're going to fight or flight. Try me. And I'm going to hit all that cold-hearted stuff that many of us are still doing to others. Because We have a spiritual disorder. Then you got the one who caused the injury that will feel abandoned if not forgiven. Lonely, worthless, don't understand the pain that he or she caused another person. Y'all remember Judas? You remember Judas, don't you? Judas kissed Jesus, sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Then when he realized what he had done, he had hurt innocent blood, he hanged himself. He was there, what I done in the past, post, traumatized him, and he committed suicide. So in relationships, you got two people. You got both of them can be traumatized at the same time. In a marriage, the husband can traumatize the wife, and the wife in turn, because she was traumatized, issued cold blood back to him and put him in a trauma. Now they two people in the house, they hate each other in a sense because of what she or he done to me. And I never healed. And every time she says something or he says something that pulls the scab off again, cold blood come out. The people today have been abandoned by loved ones, lonely, they feel worthless. They don't understand the pain that they caused other people. But to help understand PTSD, the one who caused the pain must convey to the other person they understand they are reliving the day you injured me. Y'all see what I'm saying? Now, I'm just giving concepts. I'm going to give details in the next one. Concepts. What post-traumatic stress disorder, people don't understand the healing takes time. The healing takes forgiveness. The healing takes time based on individuals dealing with their pain. If the person doesn't deal with the pain, then they're going to live with the pain. Y'all with me? The sore has to be treated with love, sad. Thank you. Only God can take that sore and turn it into a scar. Whereas the person that molested, or the person who raped you, or the husband who was unfaithful to you, or the wife who demeaned you, brother, the only answer to our past that God gives is forgiveness. There's no undo button on it. What's crooked cannot be made straight. In other words, if you got raped, you can't undo the rape. But God is saying you got to forgive the rapist. And when you learn to forgive the rapist, then you can live without stress over the rape. But because you can't forgive the racist, every time you see the rapist, you can't forgive the rapist, Every time you see the rapist, cold blood comes out. Why? Unforgiven pain. A PTSD. If you got two spiritual people in there in a marriage, there's no reason, if they are spiritual, that they can't deal with anything that happened.
Amen.
That's it, if they
spiritual.
But because they are not spiritual, they'll say things like, pray for me. No, we ain't praying for you so you can be better. That's a mistake. So pray for me that I learn to treat my husband. No, you need to treat your husband right. You need to treat your wife right, bro. You pray for me that I control my tongue. No, you need to control your tongue. That, see, you verbally abused that woman. You have sexually abused that woman. You have mentally abused that woman. And we ain't praying for that because you need to repent.
Amen.
Hit for me 1 John 5. Let's go over there. I looked at that this morning in Bible class, but this is all part of the conceptual design of it because this is unforgiven pain, and it's inflicted in two different directions. So many of us, many people, if not all, got some post-traumatic stress disorders, and it's a bad home when you got two of them. You got two people. Both of them got post-traumatic stress and post-traumatic spiritual. That's a messed up house. Amen, somebody. You got two devils in the house. What you got? You got the Bible for me?
What verse?
1 John 5, 7. Is that the one I want? Yeah.
For there are three.
No, that's what I want. I'd say you don't pray for that one. Y'all help me along here. Let me get over here. Yeah, hold on. Yeah, verse 16.
If any man see his brother sin a sin.
Now he said, now here's what John said. If I see my brother sin a sin,
which is not unto death, he shall ask.
He shall ask.
And he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death.
Right, read.
There is a sin unto death.
There is a sin unto death.
I do not say that
I don't say pray
for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death.
The sin unto death is the sin you don't repent of. And no one can pray for forgiveness for you because forgiveness, a prerequisite to be forgiven, is repentance. Luke 13:3. We need to stop this. Talking about pray for me that I can do this or that. No, you need to repent. But brother, you don't know how he been treating me or how she did me. You don't know what he done. You don't know what I saw. No, 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 we don't pray for you because you need to repent. That make you a better wife. That's how you be a better husband. Because the sin unto death is the one you die in.
Amen.
And if we keep praying, you're going to stay just like you are until you make your mind up to stop doing that woman like that. Stop doing that man like that. Amen, somebody. Bible tells us not to pray for that. I talked about that this morning. Folk want you to pray for it. Pray that I be on church on time. No, repent and come to church on time. Amen. Pray I come back to even serve. No, just start making a decision and come back. Amen. Wow. Hey, we ought to be careful about what we ask for prayers for. When the Bible tells us don't pray for folk like that. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I tell your neighbor, except you what? Repent, you're going to perish. What we need to be doing is saying, no, sister, brother, you need to repent. That's what you need to do. Some of this stuff is not something you gotta work on either. You know, I gotta work on forgiving. No, you need to decide to start forgiving. Now look who was affected by this. Marriages, when it comes to unfaithfulness or neglect or abuse, verbal, mental, sexual, It affects children who've been abused or molested or neglected. Children who not runaways, but throwaways by their own parents. One thing to be a runaway, another thing when mama throw me away, and I got to live with that the rest of my life. That's a trauma. That's traumatizing to that child. Then you have the spousal rape. Man abusing his authority as if that God is not in the pen when a man will rape his own wife. Not a spiritual man, but it'll be by consent. Amen, somebody. That's illegal in Texas, in case y'all didn't know what I just told you. It's illegal for a man to force himself upon his wife. Or vice versa. You don't see that happening too much. You never know. You don't know some of these women. Oh, Lord, we pray. You never know. Some of these brothers say, I'd have to try. Brother, come on, brother. Now, you know, brother. Some of these brothers, oh, man, brother, that's a thought. I know, bro. You need. That's what's wrong with you. You got a spiritual disorder. That's your problem. We needed that laugh after all the stuff I done said, huh? Yeah, we did. You know what one of the things I find in marriage counseling? 90% of the females are miserable. I've been counseling for 32 years. And your brothers need to listen to this. Because men don't meet the need of affection for their wives, then they don't get the fulfillment, the sacred fulfillment. And so the wife goes through it, traumatized, laying there crying because she don't want to do it. But because she married you, she feel obligated to go through with it because she's traumatized. And some of it came from the way you treated her, the way you talked to her, the way you don't be there for her. You neglect that woman. You are not affectionate. You don't care about her. You don't take care of her. But when you go to bed, you want what you want. Now he said, Brother Brooke, don't say that. The children see more than this on TV. Don't let them watch your TV then. This is the truth. I'm telling you, 90%. In my spirit of counseling, the one that have came to me. I don't know what Bro Stroudland experienced. He do more marrying. I do most premarital. And I'm teaching, get this right up front. If you learn to meet the needs of the female and the female learn to meet the need of her husband, y'all won't be traumatized in flighting and fight responses. That's why you ended up in divorce court, or you end up in separate beds, or you end up in separate rooms, or you live in your own compartments in the house. Y'all in the house together, but you ain't together. Because you know what? Both of you got spiritual disorder. I said, Brother, how is that a spiritual disorder? Aren't we supposed to love each other? So we say, marriages, church relationships, people in church relationship have not able to speak to another brother or sister. Amen. You know, there are people, no doubt, in every congregation that left some other congregation because they didn't like what was going on, and they now no longer have nothing to do with the people over there. Those are children of God. Amen, somebody. And you traumatized because they didn't say something right or didn't do something right to you. And you traumatized. You post-traumatic. You're running from your past. What you about to do? Get it right. What about business relationship? When people get in business together, you know, after that, the thing go bad and the money is lost. The love of money is the root of what? All evil. Now they don't have nothing to do with each other anymore. Families torn apart. Amen. What children who are torn away from their parents, torn away from their families over somebody's death, and then they couldn't get the beneficiary right, and so now they fighting over the mama's house or the daddy's house and the daddy's car and the home, and who going to get the land and who going to get the money, and they at the funeral, and all of them post-traumatic. And then since I didn't get the car and I was supposed to get the car and she got the money, I ain't going to have nothing else to do with that no good sister of mine. Because she was the sister that caused all the problems in the family. She the one acted up. Because she acted up don't mean you get to act up. What you got? What's my problem, Brother Brooks? You got a spiritual disorder. So I'm going to be talking about all that. Isn't that pretty good? When you start looking at this, when you look at, and I'm going to get ready to close, because I said I was going to do my 30 just to introduce it. Medical PTSD is mental. Spiritual PTSD is spiritual. Now, everybody ain't crazy. You know, you wanting to fight, or you want revenge, or you ain't speaking because you've been hurt. It ain't nothing wrong with your mind. You just not spiritual. And because they hurt you, you are in revenge mode, fight, flight. You say, well, Brother Brooke, you know, we all at different stages in our spiritual life, and I'm trying to grow to get there. Is that real? It takes growth to make a decision. I'm asking a question. Does it take growth to make a decision? No, it don't take growth. It takes decisions. We do it all day. Nobody tell you when to get up. You get up. You put your clothes on. You walk. You drive the car. You buy the gas. You buy your insurance. What if somebody had to run by? Now go buy gas. Go do this. Go do that. You do everything all day long making decisions. But when it comes to being a spiritual person, you want to give you time. Let me grow to it. I need to grow. I'm hoping I grow in the area of being more faithful. I hope I grow in the area where I can love more, Brother Brooks. I pray that I grow to love my enemies. Really? How many of y'all want me to pray so you can grow to love your enemy? Huh? That's what you want? Help me love my husband. You said it and you vowed. You said it. You said it. In your vow, you said, the preacher asked you, do you take this woman be your lawful wedded husband to have any hope from this day forward for better or worse in sickness and in health? You said, I do. You take this man to be your lawful wedded husband to have any hope of better or worse in sickness and in health, to death do you part? And the woman said, I do. I do. Just as happy she could be on the day of the wedding. Didn't even make it to the room for the honeymoon before something got out of order. In other words, you made a vow and you didn't even mean it. Because I'm gonna tell y'all something. Some of us understand this. In marriages, the work for worse list sometimes is longer than the for better list. But because you vow to God, you honor the vow. And you don't hate them because they're for worse. I don't know why I ever married them. You should have thought about that before you said, I do. I seen somebody hit their husband and say, You know, that's bad when you catch them. Brother, tell me. That brother ain't going to holler out. All you sisters and them brothers doing y'all bad, you sit right close to him, go ahead, like that. He ain't going to do nothing. He going to sit there and suck it in. Sorry about that. More to come. It's good. Part three. Now, the idea that basically, here's all I'm saying. Tonight is the concept. Y'all see it? The concept is this. Here's the situation we all got. Every one of us got it. Now, you can recall some of the past travail that we've studied that brings on oppression is also the trauma. The Bible calls it travail. Both of them equals pain. There are some people who have the pain that happened in their childhood and they cannot get through it because they haven't taken a spiritual approach. You follow me? It's post. It's what happened to me in my past. It's never in the future. It's always right now I'm dealing with post. Y'all feel me? You right now, every one of you are dealing with a past trauma. It's in my book when I talk about the trauma of losing my brother. That was a trauma. Many people came to the Lord because of trauma, because of a travail, because of some pain that went on in their life. But I'm going to show your life when it's parallel to someone else's life in a relationship, there's pain in both relationships. I say it again. There's pain in both people involved in the relationship. And some in the church that are not spiritual will leave the loved ones behind when it comes to their salvation, because they never dealt with the trauma that happened to them by the individual who they married, the individual who they went to church with, the individual who they worked with, the individual who was their uncle, their grandmother, uncle, daddy. You know how people deal with daddies when they leave them and they wasn't there for them and they ain't got nothing else to do with them? You know how people deal with uncles who molest you? I was 5 years old, and you no good at rascal, you molested me. And guess what I can't do? Guess what I can't do? I can't forgive you. And so here's the last part I'm going to tell you. So the way you know, the past is unforgiven pain. That's what it is. Trauma is post-trauma if it's unforgiven. You with me? And so when it's unforgiven, it's kind of like this. Here's how you know. You take a dead body and bury it in the ground, and you put a tombstone at the head of the grave, don't you? Right? Y'all? Y'all say right, I'll quit. When I was growing up, I said, boy, a whole lot of rips did. And even growing up, you see everybody, man, rip, another rip. Rest in peace. So here you got the body that's dead, right? And as long as it's buried, you can't smell it, right? But you got the memory. Amen? You follow me? Okay, so you're going to always have the memory of what the person done to you wrong, that wronged you. That's never going to go away. That's the tombstone. But if you've forgiven it and buried it, then you won't smell it. But if every time you look at me, and I done said, I don't hurt you, and every time you look at me, you smell the stench or you feel the pain, that means you did not forgive. And your memory of it is that you done this to me and I will never forget it. And what we also say is things like this is very spiritually disordered. I might forgive it, but I'll never forget it. So what's the purpose of telling me that? Because you didn't what? That's your past. Next week, after the youth, the young adult lecture, we'll look at the flow of the cold blood. There's a dark side to us, too. When we have a spiritual disorder, the dark side on the side of the oppressor. there's pain. If you're here tonight and you've gone through some trauma, remember that God went through it. He saw the travail of his son. He saw the pain of his son in Isaiah 53. When he hung his son on the cross, they hung him up there. They beat him. They whipped him. They whipped him. They drove nails in his hands and his feet. He hung on that cross for 6 long hours, and he held nothing against the people who did it to him. Why? He was not post-traumatic. He did not go back and talk about Pilate, what he did. He said nothing about Judas, what he did. He didn't talk about Peter, denied him. Judas betrayed him. Pilate crucified him. Pilate did soul him for the people. He never said nothing about the people who wronged him on the cross other than this. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And some of you listening, some of you in here cannot forgive, and you're in a bad place spiritually because you are spiritually in a disorder. You are post-traumatic spiritual disorder, and that wasn't Jesus' way. So, but you say, brother, what's the answer? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father but by me. He said, I'll stand at your door and knock. If you open, I'll come in and sup with you. So what you do tonight, you open the door to Jesus. Let him come in and forgive your past. Because that's God's answer. God's answer to our past is not to remove the trauma, but to forgive it. And so you can come. Now, how do you get forgiven? You got to believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sin. Confess him to be the Son of God. Then you got to be baptized for the remission or the forgiveness of your past sins. Then the Lord will add you to the church, the body of Christ, the church of Christ. Or you can just fold your hands, like Solomon said, and bite your own flesh, which means you hurt nobody when you're in a spiritual disorder, but yourself. At the end of the day, you will pay the price for what you've done or what you didn't forgive. Now, do you want forgiveness tonight? Who would like to have forgiveness? Well, that's a wonderful thing. We can get forgiveness in there. I'm so glad. And God said, I want you to remember what you did, but I'll sure forgive you. He said, your sins, I'll remember no more. If you're here tonight, you say, Brother Brooks, I don't have nothing like that going on. I do need prayer. Don't let this sermon stop you from coming to prayer. And then people are very private. You're very private, and you're afraid. If you respond tonight, somebody's going to think you got some of that stuff going on, and you probably do. Because we all got something going on. I mean, just to be real, right? It ain't nobody in here that don't have no past trauma. I'm just going to give it to you on the table. Some of us deal with it spiritually, and some of you have not done with it because you're oppressed, you're so oppressed, and the reason you take that medicine, because you're depressed. And when you're depressed, because you're not dealing with your stress in a spiritual way. And remember, I'm offering counseling. I'm offering personal interviews with people who can go through this series and come out of it better, because I would like to put that into my book form. If you're here tonight, you're not a Christian, wouldn't you come? Start by letting the Lord, obeying the Lord tonight. If you need prayer, we want you to come. Want to get baptized, we want you to come. If you make a confession, confess your fault, we want you to come. You say, Brother, well, why should I come? Well, I got all this stuff just like you are. You come to God just as I am. That's what you do. He asked me what song I want. I said, just as I am. He said, you like that? And I said, just as I am makes you think about who? You. This is one you have to look in the mirror. Was I talking to you? Every disciple around the table went around. When Jesus said, one of you going to betray him, every one of them asked this question. Is it I? You asked the question. Is it you I'm talking about? Are you that little girl? Are you that little boy? Are you that wife? Are you that husband? Are you that church member that you traumatized? This could be the best lesson of your life if you can see yourself. This might be the best series because you've never been free. You're trapped by your own trauma. And God is trying to give you a way of peace. Y'all want to come? You want to come? We're going to have the song of encouragement. And then you can come as together we stand and sing.